Friday, August 21st, 2020. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Better days ahead as we move into the later part of the year, still with some uncertainty of really what's going on with casinos, but they slowly seem to be getting their act together and putting in protocols. I haven't seen, now I've been a little quiet on social media, as I'm sure some of you have seen, but I have not seen any death and fire in the casino world as far as it comes to COVID-19 and outbreaks and stuff like that. Send me something if you've seen anything in the recent weeks, but it looks like things are starting to bounce a little bit better. They've learned their lesson a little bit. The big names are taking this a little bit more seriously, especially outside of the Vegas area, on their protocols and policies, but better days ahead, I think, for the casino industry. Some better days ahead for myself as well. As most of you noticed, today's Friday. I used to put things out on Wednesday. I recently announced that I'm going to try to put them out on Thursday, but yet here I am on a Friday. The past couple weeks have been full of both excitement and a little bit of stress. There was a family emergency, not here in the household, but elsewhere in my family that I had to tend to, which is why I was pretty quiet on social media recently. And I also have, I did get some exciting professional news. I will be transitioning to a different department soon that'll have me moving up the ladder. And that's very exciting for me as well. Something I probably won't talk. I think I've discussed or at least mentioned where I work now, where I'm moving to. Not that it's really all that secretive. It's something I'll probably be a little more discreet about as I become someone who gets a little more responsibility. I probably will do even more to separate those two parts of my life. But anyhow, there's no guest today. Through the stressor and the excitement, did a poor job of lining up or remembering scheduled recording sessions that I had. I had forgotten one that I have sort of tentatively planned. I do apologize to that individual. Looking forward to recording with you next week. And then I did a poor job of getting something lined up otherwise to be able to record or to feature this week. So you get to listen to just me for, I'm going to shoot for 20 minutes here. 20, maybe 30 minutes. So a short little burst of Tim Lawson in your life this week, and then back to the normal interview-based program you're used to in a couple of weeks. And I'm pretty excited about the couple people that I have lined up. The big name that was floated around on Twitter, still have not confirmed a recording session with that individual, but hopefully that will come sooner than later. Okay, so let's start with Moneyline probabilities and prices. Now, I think it was last week I mentioned that I had been doing a little bit more with Moneyline evaluations on probability and disparity between what I think they should be versus what they are and taking advantage of that. Now, an individual did message me. Let me get this person here, listener Bill, he hit me up and just wanted to make sure that that there was clarification on making a number, comparing it to the market, but remembering that 10 cents is different between two lines. So -110, -120, or -200, -210. You know, those 2 cent differences are not necessarily they're not necessarily the same price difference. They are the percentage edge is a little bit different, and to generally or basically look at this, let's go with so +120 is approximately an implied probability of about 45%. +120 implied probability amount around 45%. Course, meaning that if you were only to bet games or teams that were +120 on the money line, your implied probability of that team winning, the market is implying that this team has approximately a 45% chance of winning, therefore that you should be winning that wager 45% of the time. Plus 130 is closer to 43% probability. I guess both of these are about 45.5% and 43.5% chance probability, right? So about a 2% chance difference in probability between that 10-cent gap, right? So then you go to 220, that's a 31% chance in probability of that team winning, betting the money line plus 220. Plus 230 is about a 30% chance of winning. So you see there's about a 30% probability change in that team winning on that 10-cent difference. So it is important to know the differences in implied probability on the team winning or the when you're betting any particular number and what that means in the value and the price difference, right? The 10-cent price difference as we're noticing in those two examples. So I use a odds converter at Covers. That's one I just have bookmarked and I use. If you just Google odds converter, money line odds converter, you will find something. There's a ton of different tools, and they are very handy to quickly look up depending on what you make a line or what the line is. Or if you just want to see, like, okay, the money line here is plus 180, the line here is minus 160, what is that actually telling me on what the implied probability of that team winning? And of course, the whole point of this is you know, if you have, just for simplicity's sake, if you have something, a coin flip, and the price is based at, you know, plus, 125, you know, that you're getting about, 5.5% difference on implied probability, right? 50-50 versus about 44.5 at plus 125, something like that. So, you can see how knowing what you believe the implied probability is, or seeing the disparity in money lines, how that can trigger a bet. Now, let's talk about triggering a bet. Let me tell you one that I have going into, when is it? Is it Sunday or is it Monday? I can't remember what day it is, but the Champions League final, Bayern Munich versus PSG. I'm all over Bayern Munich. I mean, don't bet your freaking house on it because anything can happen. PSG is no rollover. But I make this game based on the resources I'm looking at. Bayern Munich's probably in the 60 to 65% implied probability to win. And the current price at the time of this recording, let me just look at this one more time to make sure that I have it. And I got it at plus 105 earlier. So long as Bayern Munich is plus money, I think there's tons of value on them. I will be watching this game for live betting. I will almost be hoping that PSG will score an early goal to make the in-game line for Bayern more attractive, because I do ultimately think that Bayern Munich wins this, and I think that they would have no problem coming from a 1-0 deficit to winning. Now, if it went to 2-0, I don't know if I would pull that trigger. I may look at the goal line on that one. The goal line there would either be like plus 1.5, 2, or something like that. I would look at the goal line if it went 2-0 early. But I'm kind of hoping PSG gets an early goal for to get more value on Bayern, get a stronger investment as it goes into the game, because I do think Bayern ultimately takes that. Someone asked about Asian lines in on Twitter. Someone tweeted at me and someone else asking about Asian lines, and with my infrequent Twitter visits, I didn't get around to answering, but I do want to mention it here. What they're referring to, at least how I know Asian lines, is when you look at a goal line or a total in a soccer game, you may see two numbers separated by a comma. And I'll use the example for a game that's about to probably go off right around the time that I release this, Sevilla SC versus Inter Milan for the Europa League championship. Right now, the goal line is, we'll go with the total. Right now the total is 2, 2.5. Okay, 2, 2.5. And then there's a line there, -115 to take the over on 2, 2.5. What that means is your wager is split between those two numbers. So if I took the over 2, 2.5, the book would likely list the wager in my, once the wager's book, it would likely list it as 2.25. That does not mean your line is 2.25. What that means is your line is split, your wager is split between 2 and 2.5. So if you wagered $100 at -115, for, I'm going to say you just bet 100, not bet 115 to win 100. I'm going to say bet 100 just for simplicity, for division's sake. That means $50 of your wager is on the 2, and $50 of your wager is on the 2.5. Now, if the number lands 2, so if this game goes 2-0 in one direction, that means that your half your wager is going to push and get refunded to you. The other half of your wager would lose. And then, of course, if it went only 1, both of the wagers would lose. If it went 3, both of the wagers would win. Both your 2 and 2.5, in either of those situations. So a lot of times if I see, especially on a goal line, if I see a team that I believe is competitive and they have a +1, +1.5 wager, line, I'm sorry, if they have a +1, 1.5 goal line, I will start thinking about betting a goal line there because of how that, you know, at 1, if they lost at 1, half my bet would be refunded to me, the other half would win. Of course, if they lose by 2 in that situation, both lines, both wagers would lose. Now, mind you, this is one wager. The book is going to list this as one wager. But the way that it is graded is split. And I hope that makes sense. If anybody has any questions about that, if I was incorrect in any way of explaining that, someone please chime in on Twitter. I am but a mortal being and make my mistakes and possibly even confuse things. But that is essentially what an Asian line is. It's something that a lot of bettors kind of avoid because it's either confusing or it's difficult to interpret value there. But when you think about what you think is likely going to happen in a game, there can be some opportunities there where you feel like your worst case scenario is a push and win on your split bet. And then, of course, you know, you have the chances of winning or losing the whole bet. But anyways, that's Asian lines in a nutshell. I've only seen it in soccer. I don't know if anybody has, if they've seen it anywhere else, but I've only seen it in soccer, but that's what it is. Look, since I have taken this this money line evaluation more seriously in soccer, this is a good time to merge these past two topics in money line and then goal line total, stuff like that. I used to approach soccer in a way of if I liked the dog, I would take the goal line, because a lot of times you get the goal line at pick plus money or plus half a goal, plus a full goal. And you know, you're just sort of rooting for a draw or better, and it feels safer, and it is safer in a lot of ways. But I was missing value on the money line, and to say that, so like Sevilla FC, I got it +245 when I wagered it. I have them probably, when I'm looking around, I have them at a 45% probability or better to win this match. And look, I'm not a professional bettor, so I don't have a perfect model or anything like that. I just have the way that I evaluate things and sort of estimate. But you know, at 45% to win the match, this should be a little closer to 122, 125 in there. And so you can see there's a huge disparity between those two lines. So you know, that's a, you know, full dollar plus in line value, and you know, closer, so plus 245 what I wagered, and that's an implied probability around 29%. So you know, big disparity there, both in implied probability and in line value. And originally, with the way that I was, so you know, even just months ago, the way that I would be approaching this game is I would be looking at the goal line, which right now is 0.5 plus half a goal. So, and it's lined, I think, around minus 105 to take that side. So at minus 105, right, if I were to bet $105 to win $100 on that goal line, half that wager gets put on the pick'em, and then half the wager would get put on the plus 105. And sure, Sevilla could easily hold this to a draw. I think that's how a lot of people actually even see this going. But that's missing a ton of value also on the plus 245 if I truly have conviction that that implied probability really is there. Now, Europa League is a big league, right? That this is going to get bet in all over the world. You got to respect lines like that, right? You have to respect markets that are set up. But when you're looking at more global markets, in my opinion, you have even more recreational punters betting into this. That's not to say that money isn't going to move this, that money isn't somewhere, but I do think that there's even more recreational money in there. When you're talking about two clubs, right, Sevilla in Spain, Inter Milano in Italy, all of Europe, everybody's into this sport. Of course, that means that there are more professional bettors getting into it, but I think that with soccer especially, there's even more recreational bettors going into this. And I think that soccer on a global stage like this, similar to the NFL, has a lot of reputation that kind of goes into each of these teams, right? You know, people recognize teams and players and stuff like that. And I believe, like, I know a lot of you are just like, goodness, so much soccer talk. But take these concepts, take these ideas, apply them to the sport that you enjoy betting, okay? Right now for me, it's soccer, also baseball. I've been getting into baseball as well. But my range of bets is much wider, and the ceiling on what I'll bet on a soccer game right now is much higher than on a baseball game. But anyways, to the point, I am now taking money lines way far more often than I'm taking goal lines in situations where I find value on that. Now, that goes on both ways, right? So it's you know, I am laying large numbers into a line that I think is maybe $1.50 off on a favorite, right? I laid into minus 430 for Bayern Munich in their last game, and look, it's nervous, it's nerve-wracking, right? Because that game ends in a draw, and I lose that large lay. That's where math and handicapping have to come into play. If the Manchester City Lyon game, it was also around minus 400, something like that. And what I was seeing from around the soccer world and metrics and stuff like that, that Man City was considered justified to be that large of a favorite, but it felt uncomfortable for me, through some of the less mathematical handicapping that I was seeing. So I laid off of it. Bayern Munich, I laid into it, right? Those two games that mathematically had value on what the implied probability was from an analytics standpoint, and with the disparity and what the line was, where I chose to lay off one game but buy into another game purely off of what the non-math handicapping said about both games. Paid out for me in the Bayern Munich game, paid out for me to not bet into Manchester City as they got upset by Lyon, who I'd actually taken on the goal line at plus two goals. But so I'm doing both. I'm laying into large favorites. I'm taking underdogs on their side, all depending on what I believe the implied probability of winning may be, and what the line is showing in the market. Since doing this in the short sample size that I have and sort of in really taking this seriously and not letting myself get scared by the, you know, I've been betting into teams that have had a 25, where the analytics come down to a 25% probability to win, and the line showing that there's value based on that, based on those analytics. You know, I've been scared to lay into the plus 300, plus 400, plus 275 underdogs because of that low probability to win. But if you truly believe those numbers, if you truly believe that there is a, you know, you're getting value on the comparison of the implied probability in the line it's showing, then it should work out. Short sample size, small sample size. I understand. Before anybody comes back and says you haven't been doing this long enough to know this works, I know. But short sample size, I've had more winning days than losing. I haven't done the math on like how many quote unquote units I'm up because I'm still trying to figure out what I want to bet per sort of tier of disparity, if that makes sense, right? Like how much I want to bet when there's a 10 cent jump around the 120 range and how much more I want to bet as that gets larger, shorter, whatever that may be. So I have not really done the quote unquote units evaluation of how many units I may be up or down, but I will say more winning days than losing, and the winning days are winning more than the losing days are, or at least in general. That of course not 100% of the case, but yes, more than making up for my losses with winning days. So all of that to say, okay, all of that to say, do your homework, evaluate the right lines, find the right balance between analytics and opinion. And know what to trust and know what to be skeptical of. I have handicappers. I have sites that I read and listen to and take to heart. I have ones that I used to and kind of dropped off because I realized the opinion wasn't as consistent or as genuine as originally thought. But yeah, here I am betting a whole lot of soccer. There's even more soccer coming in September as leagues start up again. And we'll see if an NFL season both gets underway and completes its entire season. But while all of that drama is going on, I will be enjoying some tiddlywinks. For those of you that are a part of the Better Life Book Club on Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can support the show with a monthly pledge. Do appreciate everybody supporting me there. The Better Life Book Club is going to be, the book this quarter is going to be The Biggest Bluff by Maria Kournikova. Now, it's not about gambling in the same ways that some of the other ones have been, about focusing on a gambler or getting into the thought, philosophy, guidance, strategy, etc. about a certain game. But this is Maria Kournikova, who is a psychologist who took up poker, ended up winning a tournament and wrote a book about it, and sort of applies poker to life, etc. I always think that, you know, when you look at the better life, gamblers look through life through the lens of gambling sometimes, not just in risk assessment or value assessment or whatever, but in other ways of applying sort of what we do, what we enjoy to our lives. So I think this is a nice type of book, a gambling themed book to get into. I have not finished it. I've begun reading it. I have my copy. I've enjoyed it thus far and thought this would be something that I think the rest of you that are part of the book club would also enjoy. So The Biggest Bluff by Maria Kournikova is what will be coming to your mailboxes in the coming weeks for the Better Life Book Club. And then lastly, to round out the show, I want to talk about five things that I think all gamblers, all casino goers should be doing to sort of prepare themselves for when they're ready to go back on a regular basis. I'm not talking about dipping your toe in. I'm not talking about, you know, poking your head around, seeing what's going on here, there. I'm talking like when it's time to go back to your routine casino visits. Maybe you're already there. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're waiting until 2021. Maybe you're waiting for a vaccine. Maybe you're waiting for your local casino to step up their protocols, whatever it may be. Things you should be doing to make sure you're prepared as a gambler and as a casino patron before heading back, so that way you can be you're not too rusty and that you don't get caught up in losing too much in the house edge or through casino programs, etc. So the first one is if you're a video poker player, make sure that you are still training yourself, practicing on video poker strategy. Win Poker is an app that I believe for iOS. I don't know if I found one like that for Android, but I was using that when I had an iPhone. Video Poker for Winners, Bob Dancer's software is another good way to go. But look, when I was playing video poker just a couple weeks ago, I found myself on a couple hands kind of that I knew were routine for me before that I had to think about before making my decision of like, oh, wait, is it three here? Do I hold the ace and do I hold the king and the 10 of the same? Stuff like that. It's good to have those brushed up because it doesn't take misplaying those hands. Doesn't take misplaying too many of those hands before that small house edge widens too much to be even worth playing the game. So keep up to date, keep sharp on your video poker strategy and practice. And of course, it goes for blackjack strategy as well. That'd be number two. If you're a blackjack player, make sure that at the very least that you know your basic strategy. If you know the advanced strategy, I say advanced strategy. If you're a card counter and sort of know how strategy may fluctuate, I guess that's good to know as well. But hey, everybody, I believe, anybody who's a recreational player who plays blackjack needs a refresher on the soft hands from time to time. That's always me. I always find myself at least once in a blackjack session dealing with a soft hand and finding myself having to think or find myself not confident that I know what the right play is on that particular hand. So I have an app on my phone that you don't even play a hand of blackjack. Let me see what it's called. I think it's just called Blackjack Trainer, I think. Blackjack Trainer. Yeah, it's on Android, Blackjack Trainer. It doesn't even go through a hand of blackjack. It shows you your two cards, the dealer's card, and you have a choice of what your decision would be based on that situation. You don't even play the hand of blackjack. It's just, you know, split, double, stay, hit, stuff like that. And then you go on to the next hand. Very handy. And it's one of those things, that alone will make you realize maybe where you're not sharp on your strategy. So blackjack strategy, always good to keep in mind. Unless you're Adam Bauer, then you can just hate blackjack for the rest of your life. Sports betting approaches, I think it's important, as I mentioned the last episode or two, and as I emphasized today, the leagues are getting back in the full swing. We're days full of sports right now, right? And so you're almost too late on reevaluating how you're approaching. But I had a conversation over DM with Mississippi Rob on just how, widening too much, getting into too many sports right now as they're coming back is actually detrimental to winning, and that you're stretching yourself too thin. You know what sports you want to play, know how you want to play them, know what your risk tolerance is, both on single bets and in single days. I think this is one of the things that sports bettors, especially when you get ambitious on a Sunday, on a weekend full of football, or you know it's October and there's baseball playoffs and basketball and there's football and there's all this stuff going on. I think it's important to know what your risk tolerance is for any particular day is. Because it's one thing to have one or two bets in a day with your standard flat bets. Another thing to have 20 to 30 bets throughout an entire weekend because you're betting into college and pro sports in different leagues. And before you know it, if you lost your entire day, it would floor you. Knowing what those limits are for yourself going into a day, going into any particular bet, And then based on that, what sports should you be betting on first? So if you know, hey, there's a lot of games to be betting into this, you know, there's 50 possible bets to be making here. I'm only comfortable with making 10 for my weekend or for my day, whatever it may be. Know which sports, know which teams, know which situations you want to start with. So that way, by the time you get to that juicy line on that sport you feel super confident in, you haven't already reached your threshold. So that's important as well. That's number three. Number four, just build your bankroll. Pretty simple. Probably should have even just led with that one. If you're not going to the casino, it's a perfect time to build your casino budget. This is another way, another time to like really think about strategy going back to the casino with that budget, right? If your budget's bigger, if it's more solid, if you don't have to think about too much about stretching it too much or pinching it too much, maybe you do have that one large day that you know, Traeger and them, you know, Eric, you know, emphasize on being able to take advantage of having one large day versus three smaller days on a trip, whatever it may be. Think about that stuff. You know, think about how you can take advantage of maybe having a stronger, more flexible bankroll going into this next season of gambling. And then fifthly, reassess the player clubs that you're with. Things have changed, right? People have been sharing articles about how casinos are reevaluating and drastically readjusting how much they're willing to invest into bringing the average player back. Don't just expect that what was true a year ago with your particular casino or host, whatever, you know, make sure you're talking to your host if you have one on what the reality is. Make sure you're looking at the player club to know for two things, for both for good, both good and bad. The good is a lot of players' clubs have dropped the number of points it takes to get to a certain tier, so make sure you're aware of that for any opportunities that may be there. But also see, like, hey, what has it changed? Have they changed anything inside these tiers to not that maybe it's not even worth putting the time and effort into getting there? So I mean, that's five things. They all sort of encompass three main points. Train, practice on your basic strategy in games where that is applicable. Know how you're approaching these games, right? I mentioned sports, but, you know, craps is even a good example. Something that I was sort of doing more last year, the beginning of this year when I was playing craps, that is instead of doing continuous bets, I was putting three up and then, you know, I was putting three or four points up and then I was letting them sit there and letting them resolve before doing that again, because my thought was, well, you know, I want to put bets up and then see them resolve before going back in there to limit some of my risk. And that was an adjustment that made me feel more comfortable at the craps table. Stuff like that are things you can start thinking about now before you're getting back. You know, I read something years ago that said that planning a trip was good for your, or like just as good for your brain as like taking a trip or something like that. Like to the sense like it actually, you benefit from the planning process of a vacation or a trip. And I actually think that, I think that some of that is even true with gambling, right? I feel myself, if I'm playing around with a approach to craps or something like that on some, you know, some game that is not for money or whatever that may be, I find myself sort of getting excited to get back to the table and whatnot. So, you know, planning your approach to games, and then of course, and then building your bankroll / reassessing your players club, right, is all about how you're going to invest your time and energy into these casinos, into these players clubs. And look, it may be a while before these are worth doing again. We'll see how the casinos both they're just now kind of addressing the pandemic, right? But they had now have a recession to respond to. And in the last recession, we saw that it benefited the players, but that hasn't been true yet, right? So we'll see if that, when they get back to full staffing and patron capacity, if that opens up as a value to casino players. Okay, I think I've gone past the half hour mark, which is sort of what I thought my longer goal was going to be. I don't know how much any of you enjoy listening to me go on and on and on without a break from another voice or something, but we will be back. I say we, but me and whoever the other individual is, we will be back with interview interviews again starting the next episode in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to bringing those to have both pros and recreational players on the docket. So I know some of you like hearing from the more experienced professional people. I know a lot of you like hearing from the average recreational player. We got both of those on a docket from the whole range of poker, sports, casino gaming, everything. So feeling good about the next few episodes on how they're lining up. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can cop some merchandise, the Better Life t-shirts, Keep Calm and Throw Dice, etc. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. Have a Breaking Bad themed shirt that reads "I am the danger" coming around with a certain dangerous roll of the die displayed on the shirt as well. So working on conceptualizing and getting that produced. So that should be the next addition to the merchandise store, thebetterlife.us/merch. Thank you so much for your support in every way that you give it. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TheBetterLife. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.